tonight. If you wish to follow along, turn to Romans, of course, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I'll give you my title first before I read my passage, and it's only just one verse for this morning. My title's this: God fills us with hope. God fills us with hope. Romans 15, verse 13. And of course, Paul is continuing. And he writes these words: Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. You see it? That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. A person or persons who's never known this hope, this joy, and this peace has never been converted by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's it.
Most in religion have no idea about this hope, this joy, and this peace. Now, they have some hope, but it's a false hope.
Yeah.
And they have some joy and peace, but it's never in the person of Christ himself. It's usually only when they feel pretty good about themselves. So a person or persons who has never experienced, never known, never tasted, you might say, of this hope and joy and peace, they do not know God. And they do not know God is because they never believed God. Because this says, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. But I can also say that those who have experienced, who have tasted, who have known this hope and this joy and this peace, if that hope, that joy and that peace, and they're connected. You're not going to have hope, that's this hope, and not have some joy and some peace.
Yeah.
It's just an impossibility.
That's it.
And if you have joy and peace, but it's not in this hope, it's a false joy and peace.
Exactly.
But I'm not going to try to prove what I'm saying right now. This is just a prelude to my message. But a person who does know a little bit about this, not just this academic knowledge, but experiential knowledge, that knows something of this hope and joy and peace, and that hope and joy and peace wanes or seems to become distant, or what other kind of adjective or whatever the right word is, if it just seems to kind of fade some. Now, let me say this. A person who has experienced this hope, this joy and this peace, it will never completely fade away.
Yeah.
Because if it did, it was all false from the get-go.
Exactly.
But if a person does, has experienced this hope, and this joy and this peace, and it begins to fade. If that happens, and when that happens to me, it's because I'm not believing.
Yeah, that's
true. And it's that simple.
Yeah, you're right.
And yet that profound.
Exactly.
Now, a couple things. Earl told us years ago, and he said it more than once, God will not believe and does not believe for you. Now, he must enable us to believe.
Yes, sir.
But he does not believe for us.
Exactly.
We actually believe ourselves. Now, Christ died for us, and we had nothing to do with that.
Exactly.
He was raised again. We had nothing to do with that. And God must enable us to believe. It even takes resurrection power for us to believe.
Yes,
but
sir.
Yet we still must believe.
Exactly.
Personally, individually. And if my hope, my joy, my peace ever does this in any way, it's because I'm not believing God. Now, let me say this. I've not got to the message yet. Unbelief. Now, if this happens, this joy, this hope, this joy, this peace does this, it's not because I don't have enough faith. If you got faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can remove mountains. So that's not the problem. The problem is unbelief.
That's right.
See, when I say I'm not believing God, I don't mean I'm just not believing God like I used to or like I had before. It's filthy rotten unbelief.
Exactly.
Because unbelief is not the lack of God giving a man or woman belief. Unbelief is what we are and who we are and what we do by nature.
That's it.
I told you what Earl said. Now, this is not a verbatim quote. Another preacher said this. God's fixed it so that any good in us, he gets the credit for it. But he's fixed it so that whatever bad is in us, we get the blame for it. And somebody says, explain that to me, ain't going to do it. It's just the way it is. God takes the blame for none of the corruption that's in us, and he gets all the glory for any glory that happens to be in us. Now, let's just glean a few thoughts from this verse. Let me read it again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's the key means. He says, that's the key thing. In believing. If I don't have that, it's my fault.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's my fault. But that's not my message. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. Abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So, again, let's glean a few thoughts from this verse. First thought, now the God of hope. You see that? Hope, this hope. Now, there's false hope.
Oh, yeah.
Just like there's a false peace. And the Old Testament and New Testament both says, men and women will cry peace, peace, when there is no peace.
Exactly.
Now, they think there's real peace. But that's not this kind of peace.
Exactly. Okay?
In other words, hope, this hope resides only in and with God.
Yeah.
If one of his creatures or billions of his creatures has this hope, it came from him.
Mm-hmm.
Just that one phrase. Now the God of hope. So see, hope resides only with God. That is this kind of hope. Another thought about that, this hope is not a wish. It's not an inclination. This hope is a confident expectation based on the Word of God. And for us, it's this word right here.
Yes, sir.
Only. God may give you a dream, but don't you rely on it. Because you don't know for sure if God gave you that dream or not. But we know this. God gave us this word.
See?
So again, hope resides, this hope resides only in God. This hope is not a wish or a mere inclination. Whether in God or in us, this hope is a confident expectation in God Almighty's word. Second gleaning from this, second thought. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace.
Yes.
Simple enough. A couple of thoughts here. Three thoughts. Every believer, all believers, are dependent upon God for this hope. We don't believe to get God to give us this hope. Okay? But the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. The joy and peace itself is what comes in believing because you have hope in the Word of God.
Yes.
You see it? Because you have hope in the Word. God put that hope there. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So again, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. So every believer is dependent upon God for hope. Hope is not what we work up. It's not what we work up.
Right.
If my hope does this, Joe, it's not what I need to start reading more.
Yeah.
Though we should, I cannot say I don't believe ever any believer ever read God's word and studied God's word too much.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Too much. Hope is not what we, when it comes down, if it does come down, it's not a matter of doing more. It's a matter of believing God. Believing
That's
God.
It.
It's not worked up. Third thought about this. The God of hope fills believers with abundance of these two majestic graces, joy and peace. And in our context, even in the, now all joy and peace comes as a gift of God. If any man, woman, boy, or girl on the face of this earth, saved or lost, reprobate or elect, has any kind of joy and peace, it's a gift of God.
It's true.
Because we live in a tumultuous, evil, corrupt world.
Yeah.
So any moment of any kind of joy and peace, it's a gift of God. But in the context of Scripture, this joy is this. Joy is delight, but it's delight in God. That's the difference between a saved person and a lost person. A saved person or a lost person delights in the thought that they might be saved. A saved person delights in the thought of God.
Yes, sir.
They enjoy thinking about God. They get this delight, this joy in God Himself. It's just amazing. I mean, I've been reading the Bible for a long time. I've been studying the Bible for less time than that. The more God's Word shows me about myself, the worse I feel.
Yeah.
Hmm? Yep. Even as a believer.
That's it.
Is the psalmist cried, the bones which thou hast broken. But when God allows me to see Himself in the person, in the face of His Son, there's delight. There's joy. But it's peace. God knows this world could use some peace. Just peace. The Middle East could use some peace. And I'm not going into this. But God is having His way. God is having His way. And what God is doing, I do not know, but I know He's doing it.
Yes, sir.
But here's the peace we're talking about. Tranquility with God. Mm-hmm. Think of it. Yeah. To be able to delight in God and still be tranquil in it.
Yeah,
not be disturbed. He says, I punish iniquity into the third and the fourth generation.
Yeah.
He said, he basically said, I will not acquit the guilty. Now, if I see God only in that light, there ain't no joy and peace there. Is it? When God says, I hate all workers of iniquity, not just their works, like I used to be taught. I was taught God loves the sinner, but He hates the sinner's sins. That's not right.
Nope, you're right.
God hates all workers, the people, all workers of iniquity. And I know I'm included in that number. It's hard to delight in that, but when you read and God lets you understand to some degree that He's plenteous in mercy and compassion and grace and redemption, that brings joy. And it brings a what? Tranquility.
Amen.
And I've told you all this, others I've preached for this. I'm trying to express it this way now because it helps me. Maybe God will use it to help somebody else. It lets me do this. Just breathe. You know?
Yeah. There you go.
Just breathe. Because Paul, you're right. The older I get, especially as a believer, I'm not getting worse, but the more I see the corruption of my old man.
Exactly.
I don't know if it's because when I was a younger believer, I was just stupid and ignorant or just didn't pay attention. But the older I get, the worse I become. That's the way it feels. Now, I'm not becoming worse, but the worse I become. Why? Because I see more and more of it.
Exactly.
And like one preacher said, a lot of us think that, you know, we get older and we think, well, we're progressing a little, you know. we're becoming a little bit better. No, we're just getting too old to do some of the stupid stuff we used to do.
Exactly.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But down in here, that old lust, those old thoughts, they're still there.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. They're not getting any better.
No.
Mm-hmm. We may have experienced a little ability from God to curtail some of these overt outward things, But all of that corruption still down in here, or I wouldn't think the way I think sometimes.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, joy, that is delight in God. And peace, tranquility with God. Now, when you have some tranquility with God, you'll start to have some tranquility with other folks that have some tranquility with God. You'll begin to love them. You'll begin to be glad to be around them. Hmm? Yeah. All right, here's a third gleaner, a third thought. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In believing. Three thoughts here. The believing here, since connected to hope, that's confident expectation, is a believing in particular. It is taking God at his word.
Yes, sir.
In spite of what I see in here, and in spite of what I see out here.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just taking God at his word. Think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was told, you and your people, or at least the people, you're going into captivity for 7 years.
Yep.
And you can't, this is not verbatim. You're going into captivity for 70 years, and no amount of repenting will change that.
Exactly.
And that was a part of Jeremiah's message. Now, can you imagine having a message like that?
Exactly.
Now, what does the old man say? Well, I'll just not repent then.
Well,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, but a saved person, a regenerated person, a gospel converted person says, no matter what the outcome in this life, I need to repent.
Amen.
And as one preacher said, I need to repent even of my repentance because I don't even get that right.
Exactly. That's it.
It's taking God at his word. Turn to same letter here, chapter 4 of Romans. And you know this. This hope, this confident expectation, this believing is just taking God at his word in spite of the fact that everything else seems to be totally contrary to what God promised in his word.
Yeah.
All right, you there? Romans 4, verse 17, for the sake of time. As it is written, I have made thee. Now, this was before he ever had an offspring.
That's right.
Do you see it? He didn't say, as it is written, I will make thee.
No.
He said, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That doesn't mean God lies about things. That is, God knows far more about it than we do.
Exactly.
In spite of the circumstances around you, God is not bound by the circumstance. He is the absolute creator of the circumstance.
Amen.
And even if it seems to go contrary to his promise, God's promise will be fulfilled. So here's Abraham told, I've made thee a father of many nations. Look at verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. Now it seems to be a contradiction, right? But it's not when you think, we're talking about the circumstance. Here is Abraham. He is already, 80, 90 years old.
Yeah.
At least around 75 when God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't had a son or a daughter yet.
That's right.
He has a wife that's almost as old as him. And she's just not had a child. She has been barren. She couldn't have children.
Yeah.
There's no hope in that situation, right?
Exactly.
Who against hope? Believed in hope. Yeah. But what, just some fanciful wish? Well, just maybe something might happen one day? Mm-mm. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Now, God done declared him to be it.
Yes, sir.
But in believing. Remember it says Sarah, when she believed by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. Ellen, I can't explain that. But that's what God says about the matter. Is it not?
That's it.
Hmm? Who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become, and that is actually experience this thing, we might say, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be, even before he had one. And when all the circumstances seemed to demand that it was impossible for him to have one.
Yeah.
And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through a lack of faith. And ain't what that says, was it?
No.
Through unbelief, but was strong in faith. How? What's this mean? He was able to make things happen? No. Mm-mm. Giving glory to God.
Amen.
And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform.
Amen.
You see that? Therefore, he had hope. And I know he had a little joy. He had a little delight in God. And he had some peace.
Yes, sir.
Some tranquility. In spite of all that he could see with his eyes around him. Right? Mm-hmm. And being fully persuaded. There's not a religionist out there in free will religion that has that right there.
Yeah, right.
They are not fully persuaded that what God has promised he's able to perform. Because they'll say, God's done all he can do. Mm-hmm. Now it's up to you. No wonder they got no joy.
Exactly.
No wonder they got no peace.
Yeah.
No wonder they got no hope. Because they don't believe God.
Hmm?
And therefore it was counted to put to his account. It was imputed to him for righteousness.
Amen.
Now that's a decent story, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
We could say, boy, I could see how that back there just, that was something, wasn't it? Hmm. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered because of our, in light of the fact of our offenses, and was raised in light of the fact of our justification. We're not hoping for deliverance and justification later. He died and accomplished it. That's the word for there. It's not in order to get, but because of. Just like I've told you before, Tim James gave this illustration. It just hit home to me. We see that, especially years ago, you see the old wanted posters, right? Jesse James, wanted for bank robbery. Now that does not mean, as the Campbellites, the Church of Christ say, wanted so he will go rob banks or trains, does it? No, wanted on account of the fact that he has robbed the train or the bank, right? That's what this four means here.
Yeah.
Who was delivered on account of the fact of our offenses and was raised again on account of the fact of our justification.
Yeah.
That can let you.
Yeah.
You know why? Because although our offenses don't exist in God's sight, they still exist in us.
Yes, sir.
And although they do not and will never affect the way God feels for us, because he loved us even before we even converted.
Yes, sir.
Sent his son to die for us when we were yet enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And although he will never change the way he feels toward us, our feelings toward him often change, don't they? They're like at best. Sometimes they're, at least that's my experience. Now, maybe yours is somewhat different. But even if it is, you ain't no better than me. Let's just take God at his word. But here's another thought on this thing. Now, the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. This believing is not just accepting Bible facts. That is what thousands of people do when they come forward and pray the prayer.
Right?
Right? They're just accepting Bible facts. Why? I believe in creation. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe Christ lived on this world. I believe he died for sins. He was buried. He raised again. Even ascended to heaven. The devil believes all that.
Yep. Exactly.
He knows all that.
Yes, sir.
No. This believing is believing the record God gave of his son. 1 John 5, verses 9 through 15. I'm not going to read them. That's if you want to boil this faith, this believing, that's where it's at. It's not being right, making sure you're right about the millennium. Mm-mm. It's not you're making sure you're right, whether the tribulation is post, pre, or whatever. It ain't about that. It's believing the record God gave of his son.
Amen.
It's a particular kind of believing.
Yeah.
Now here's the fourth.
Yes,
fourth gleaning, the fourth thought. That ye may abound in hope.
Amen.
I don't know that I know how to describe this. I really don't. And I don't want to try to give an example of it, especially from myself. But I do think I can say by God's grace that I know a little bit about being able or having been made, because you believe God, to abound in hope. When things just seem to be at their bleakest, at their darkest, and you know you're guilty before God, and you can't change it, you can't correct it, and yet you know who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification before God.
Amen.
I am rarely ever justified in my own conscience.
Yeah.
Although God did give me a good one when he allowed me to see him who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. A conscience that was so good that I could actually go into the waters of baptism.
Yeah.
And say, I will obey my Lord in this act of humiliation before others.
Yeah.
Hmm? To go into a pool of water and let some man hold you down underneath the water and bring you back up. My flesh says, how stupid.
Yeah.
Hmm? How stupid.
Yeah.
But even Peter says, the like figure. And remember, it is but a figure. But nevertheless, it is called, baptism is called, the answer, or that is the response of a good conscience toward God. Now, if a person doesn't know of this Christ who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification, if they don't know that Christ, they didn't have no good conscience when they went into the water. Oh, to have abundance of hope by God-wrought power. Turn to chapter 8 of what we have in chapter 8 of this same letter. Chapter 8. For the sake of time, misread it, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Everything suffers in this world,
yes, sir,
since the fall of our daddy Adam.
Yes,
everything,
sir,
does. Animals suffer. Plants get diseases. And then a plant,
yeah,
gets a disease. And it, in some fashion, Jack suffers. It groans. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, that is to say, the redemption of the body, to be done with me out here, all this here and all this corruption in here. For the redemption of the body, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our felt weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, and we don't.
That's right.
I mean, can you imagine the parents of Esau praying for Esau to be saved?
Yeah.
Futile. It wasn't going to change God's purpose or God's mind, was it not? But I'll tell you what, it doesn't mean it's wrong to pray for an Esau, because we don't know.
Exactly.
We don't know.
Yeah.
God alone knows. Can you imagine a parent saying, that old Jacob, boy, he's a scoundrel. He's a rascal. Let him go, God. Just let him go. I'm fed up with it.
Yeah.
Ever felt that way about somebody close to you? Let them go. Thank God our prayers don't determine it.
Exactly.
Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
Yeah.
God in us knows what's going on. Even though we do not.
Exactly.
So sometimes it's just, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for, but I know I need your help.
Yeah.
And God, whatever you give me faith to bow to it, because it may not be what I expect. or what I want. But I know it'll be what you purposed. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And remember, this is delight in God, not in your circumstances. Tranquility with God, peace, tranquility with God, not this world in which we live. Because remember, for believers, his enemies will be those of his own household. And when that hit home to me years ago, that was a shocker. I know that verse was in the Bible from the first time when I was first born till I could read. It was, but I don't even remember anybody even teaching on that when I was back in religion. If they did, it was just like that. And if they did, they probably didn't even know what they were saying. Oh, but when that dawned on me, I thought, wow. No wonder things happened like they did. No, Joe, no wonder in that place called New Zion Regular Baptist Church. Pardon my language, but all hell broke loose. You know why? Because a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Why? Because Christ said, I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. So let us believe God. Even our Lord said, Father, I thank you that you've hid these things from some folk.
That's right.
But you've revealed it to others. Now, I know people emphasize the babes, and there's a reason for that. But the babes still have to have it what? Revealed to them.
Exactly.
They don't know it naturally. They cannot know it naturally. Consider the primary Spirit's primary work. And I don't think this ever stops. When he's come, he'll convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And he never stops doing that to one of his own. Why? Because we steal. Well, I've said because they believe not on me. Our chief problem is not the deed we did, it's the unbelief from which it flowed.
Yes, sir.
The unbelief from which it flowed. His primary work is to convince the world of sin, of righteousness. Why? Because I go away and you see me no more. I don't really see true righteousness, even right here.
You're right.
I certainly don't see true righteousness when I wake up in the morning and there's that mirror and I'm looking right here.
Yeah.
I certainly don't see true righteousness there. I read of true righteousness here, but I don't see it.
Yeah.
Why? Because the only man that's ever been truly righteous is seated at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen.
And of judgment, why? Because the prince of this world is judged.
Amen.
Satan may torment you if you're God's child, but he can't have your soul.
Yeah.
God may turn you over to Satan for a time, but he can't touch your soul.
Yeah.
Consider these culminating thoughts. Should we not trust God for this hope? Even when everything seems to be just falling apart around us. Should we not surrender to God for this hope? He's doing right. Even though I can't explain how. Should we not just believe God? And as we're believing God, we will never so believe God that we'll rise above our unbelief. Never. So I end with this last thought. Acknowledge complaint for what it is to murmur against the God of hope.
You're right.
It's not just, well, I don't understand. God doesn't tell us to understand. He says, believe me.
Amen.
Believe me. Father, may these words, your word, not my words, but your words, these words from your word, may they comfort our hearts, and strengthen us. Lord, preserve us so that we will persevere. Be with us and keep us and guide us. In Christ's name, amen.